Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand, if you will. Bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we feel so privileged, Lord, to be able to gather.
Yes.
Lord, the saints of like precious faith. Lord, to hear what you have for us this night.
Yes.
Lord, it's such an honor, Lord, to be able to serve you. Lord, to sing songs, Lord, to mean it from the bottom of our hearts. Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, we just ask you to bless each and every one that was able to come and bless the ones that couldn't make it this evening. Lord, we ask you for your presence, Lord, to be greatly among us. Lord, your revelation, Lord, spread among us by your grace.
Yes.
Lord, we just ask you to have your way in everything that's said and done now. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Amen. Page 29, our capstone books. When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall, take my hand, precious Lord. Take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the shadows appear and the night draweth near and the day is past and precious Lord, lead me home. Oh, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through precious Lord, lead me home. Nearing life journeys in, be my guide, be my friend, give me strength to precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand. So much to look forward to. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 698, I think. I only believe. Amen. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in. Thank him for his peace and his rest. Amen. Page 27. Amen.
Tempted and tried when of me to wonder why it should living about.
Shall meet him in that bright mansion. Do you imagine, saints? Amen. Then we'll understand all the trials and all the tests. Amen. And thank him for his guiding hand. Amen. Just appreciate him and love him. So thankful he's always there when we need him. Amen. To comfort and guide. Amen. Brother Sellers, you might take the offering up this evening.
If you will, brother. Heavenly Father, Lord.
worry. Amen.
Yes.
And then I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my trials will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. And my eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow. Then I won't have to worry anymore. Amen. Sing it again. And then I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my trials will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. And my eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be raising her hand. Let's take it before Him. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we deem it a great privilege, Lord, to have been here already. Lord, knowing You know all about us this evening. Lord, every hand that was raised, Lord, You know what was behind that hand. Lord, You know the needs of each and every one of our hearts and what we need. Even when we don't realize what we need, Lord, You know exactly what it is. Lord, that's why we gather here, Lord, to hear Thy precious word and Thy instructions. Lord, to feel Thy Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, something pecking on our hearts, Lord, to draw closer and climb another rung on that great ladder. Lord, as we know the days are getting closer, Lord, to Your appearing. Lord, our hearts long, Lord, to go home to be with You. Lord, and I'm sure the older we are, Lord, we have a greater need to see You and want to be with You, Lord. Lord, as Lord, we just are heavy-hearted this evening. Lord, we just love and appreciate You. Lord, we know that there's brothers, Lord, and sisters going through some real trials and tests in their life. And Lord, it hurts us as brothers and sisters, Lord, to see it. Lord, it's never easy. Lord, no one will ever understand exactly what each one goes through. But Lord, it don't matter as long as You're near, Lord. We lean on You, Lord, and we just love and appreciate You, Lord. We ask You to help each and every one, Lord, that's in the need. Lord, has a need in their body or just stressed in their mind. We ask You to, Lord, just help them, be with them, make it easy on them. Lord, we ask You to make it easier on the Leffler family, Lord, as they go through their trials and their tests. Lord, we know You are the great physician, but Lord, You are also the one that we can lean on in a time of trouble. We appreciate You so much, Lord, more than we can ever express in this life. Lord, we just ask now, Lord, for more revelation to Thy precious word as it comes forth. Lord, it's more important than anything in this life. Lord, for it will give us the revelation, Lord, to catch that rapture, Lord, and go home to be with You. Lord, then we don't have to worry anymore about anything in this life. Lord, what a wonderful time it'll be. Just have Your way now in everything that's said and done in this service. Let it be for Your glory and Your honor. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise His name. You may be seated. So glad to know Him. Amen. So glad I'm yours, Lord. Amen. Anyone got a song they'd like to sing? Song in our heart. Amen. Special. Amen. Let's just sing out a little chorus as we ask our brother to come. If we all want to stand. So glad I know You, Lord. Amen.
Yes.
So glad I'm yours. Amen. So glad I'm Yours. So glad Your mercy
Precious Lord, we are truly so thankful. Lord, that your mercy has overshadowed us. And Lord, that your grace has followed us. And we just are so humble tonight, Lord, to come into this little place that we've got and together around this precious word. And Lord, though the things we'll read tonight have been read many a times, and Lord, no doubt we've all heard it many a times, but Lord, may it just strike a little chord in our hearts. And Lord, there's a purpose for everything. And Lord, you know where it's going. And we just ask that you would bless your word, Lord, and bless our hearts to the hearing of your word. And Lord, may it do a work in our lives, we ask. And we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, he's so precious. Amen. I enjoyed that little song. It's very fitting, amen, to go along with the message this evening. But if you'd like to turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter, to begin, amen. And like I said, we're going to just rehearse some things that we know very well. We've heard very well, but I believe God's got a purpose in it. And we'll just read these things, and we'll rejoice. If you can say amen, that's me. I see myself. Wonderful. Maybe there's others that need to hear some of these things to help them along life's journey. Maybe it'll be good for them. Amen. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 28th verse, will begin. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. And moreover, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And them whom he justified, them he also glorified. May God add the blessings of his word. You may be seated. Amen. Several things in there, in that 28th verse, who are the called according to his purpose. And then we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son.
Yes.
And oh my, them he also called. Mm-hmm. And how we should think about these things and knowing in the time in which we're living. And also thinking about the great purpose God had. And we stand here tonight and we can hold up this Bible and see God's great purpose from the time Adam and Eve entered the garden. And see God's great plan begin to be manifested. But before this world was ever formed, he thought of all of that's in here. Before there was a moon or a star, this was in the thoughts of God. And it became time for it to be acted out and manifested for each one in place and person as they hit this earth. As we look around, I was driving up the road the other day, and I was just thinking about it as you go, cars going and coming, everybody's going to work, everybody's going somewhere, there's always something going. And the trees are just swaying beside the road, the grass is growing, the birds are flying about. God's great nature that he put together, we see it so perfectly. And people just pass it by, not realizing that the same God that created all that was around us, created all of this for one purpose, that he might manifest himself through a people. His whole plan was to be worshipped and to see us here, and how God sent a prophet in this age to reveal these things and to show us God's great plan unfolded before us. Amen. But it's good to look back and to see all that God has done through all the many men of old in this Bible. But it's our turn. It's our day. Yeah. And you know, we think about that. If you'd like to turn with me to Ephesians, we'll just read a very familiar scripture here just to place these things in our hearts. Ephesians, the first chapter, and we'll just start there about the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us. And we've got to see that personally. He chose you, he chose me. And us is a very broad term, but when you can personally see it, and my message isn't based on faith, but if you'll think about the things our pastor's been bringing, about knowing, you've got to know, it all begins with knowing that you've been born again. And all that starts right here, to know that he has chosen you for his purpose, to be one here today, to vindicate and to manifest the fullness of this precious word. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, and whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Yes. And how God took special care when he chose you. Yes. And each one of us, as we stand here and see the mercy and the grace of God that's been shed in our lives, as we know Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come to me unless the Father which sent me draw him. Mm-hmm. So there's so many things as we go through life. Many people go to church and many people follow after this message. But God predestinated and chose a few to be called to his purpose. A manifestation of the fullness of the word of God in their life. And a drawing that draws and pulls them like no other. Sometimes it's one out of a family. Sometimes it may be two out of a family. It may be one here, one there. But God done the choosing and God does the drawing. And sometimes it can't be explained that what you feel drawing in your heart, someone else may never feel. Someone else sitting beside you that knows all about the message and knows all there is to know about it may never have the same drawing that you have in your heart to be just what Jesus Christ wants you to be. A drawing that means more to you than anything in life. It guides you and it pulls you and it leads you. You know, I think of the scripture we read the last time I ministered where Peter let down the net at Jesus. And at the end of that verse it says, and they forsook all and followed him from that time forward. They left everything else behind. Something else had drawn them greater than they had ever seen before. And they didn't know for sure what it was at the moment, but something was leading them. And they laid down those fish nets and everything they had and took off looking for what God would lead them and guide them into. And thinking about that, as we've spoke about Abraham and Job and Moses the last few services, how God led them and without questioning, they followed after him. And Abraham leaving all the things he had, separating with Lot and letting you take this side, I'll take this side. Moses forsaking the things of Egypt and all that's been done. But what about us today? It's called, but they've had their place and their purpose. They were called and according to God's great plan. And according to his purpose, and their time came. And it was fulfilled. And now it's our turn. Yes. And you know, we can think of our precious brother Leffer and Sister Barbara that just passed not long ago, and Sister Marilyn. Each one of them felt they were called according to God's purpose. And Brother You know, as you grow older, your life, your span of time, you've been called to a purpose. You followed after what God has given you and followed it. God has used each one of those individuals. Think of the prophet. He was here. He was fulfilling God's purpose and plan for a space and time. And then God took him home. But he fulfilled his purpose for why he was sent here. And each one of us has been here, sent here for a purpose. And I'm praying to be able to be here when that rapture takes place, that I would be one that would be caught away in a moment of a twinkling eye, but God may see fit to take me before that rapture takes place. But it doesn't matter whether we wake or whether we sleep, we shall rise in Jesus Christ, is what our prophet said. And said, rest assured, it don't matter if the lions destroyed you in an arena, God would call that body back together at that great day. God's not going to forget any of his own. They've been called to a purpose. But some have reached their life expectancy, and God has given them an opportunity to lay down their battles. Their journey is completed on this earth. But it's what about us that remain? We still have a purpose. We still have a place. And God is still calling us. He's led us to this place for a purpose, not just to be a seat filler, not just to be somebody that goes to church every Sunday and every Thursday night. But God's got a plan and a hidden purpose. And it's by his grace, it's been opened up to us. And we see this great plan of God. But there should be a drive, and there will be a drive in that little predestinated few, that they will not be satisfied till they reach that full maturity in Jesus Christ that he's pulled them to and allotted for them. That little grain of corn don't just get halfway and decide it's done and don't want to grow anymore. But no, it keeps reaching and it keeps reaching until it reproduces that ear of corn perfectly like it went in the ground. And by God's grace, that's what we're standing here tonight for. We've been called to a purpose for his glory and to his praise. Each and every one of us that may be sitting in this building or any of those that may be listening to the sound of my voice that would see and feel this drawing and this pulling in their heart to see that God leads us all along in different ways and paths. This was in the message Abraham and his seed after him preached April 23rd, 1961. And Brother Branham speaking, he says, and that's Abraham. And this is his seed after him. Now, if you turn, if you wish, to Genesis 12, when we begin where God called Abraham, the first thing I want you to know is that when God in Genesis called Abraham, it was by election. It wasn't because Abraham was good. It wasn't because Abraham deserved it. It wasn't because that God chose it was because that God chose Abraham, not Abraham choosing God. It was God choosing Abraham, and that's the way he calls his seed too. Not what you want to be, not him that willeth or him that runneth, but that God shows mercy. It's that scripture certainly. It's not what you want to be, it's what God has chose you to be. Abraham and his seed after him, not seeds now, seed after him. The promised seed. And we find out that when God called Abraham, it was by election. I have heard many people many times say, I sought God, I sought God. No, I different with you. You never did seek God. God sought you first. You never seek after God. It's God seeking after you. And it's you that will not surrender to God. It's just like what if you could tell the hog in the hog pen that he shouldn't eat slop. If he could speak, he'd tell you, well, why don't you mind attend to your own business, see? Until his nature's changed, then he will always remain a hog. And you will always remain what you, a sinner, because you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come in the world speaking lies, and you're a sinner by birth. Look what Adam did. As soon as he became a sinner, he never tried to seek God. It was God seeking Adam. He really represented the human race right there when he hid himself behind some fig leaves that he made himself. Like most people do today, I belong to the church and I've got my fig leaf apron on. But it was God seeking after Adam, not Adam seeking after God. And it should have been Adam screaming, Father, Father, where art thou? But instead it was God saying, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And that's the same thing today. So there's just not one bit of goodness about us that we could say we had anything to do with our salvation. It was God calling us by election. Amen. Amen. Just think about some of these things as we read them again, just renew our minds back. Amen. And both of these were before 63, but just we'll move on over. These were paragraph 50. It's June 28th, 1959, in questions and answers. And I just want to we'll back up here and catch all of it. It's just not that much longer. It's paragraph 167. And the question had been asked, were we spirits in the beginning? And this was the way Brother Branham had answered it. He said, no, we were not even nothing then, but in God's mind we were. He spoke it and it materialized. Jesus was slain before how many knows that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Why? God spoke it. When he spoke it, it was good as it's finished. And when he saw me, he saw you before the foundation of the world. We were only a figurative in his mind. And then when we come to the world, we were both man and woman, male and female. And he separated the feminine spirit from the man and made a woman out of it and left the masculine spirit in a man. And when you see a woman acting like a man, there's something wrong. And if you see a man acting like a sissy, like a woman, there's something wrong. And then he took from the man's side a rib and made a helpmate out of him. And the two are one. But before the foundation of the world, our names, when the Lamb was slain, our names were put on the book. When in God's own mind he foresaw us and predestinated us by his foreknowledge. Before the foundation of the world. Oh, brother, if that wouldn't make the church get up and run through the aisles, think of it. You who are born again, before the foundation of the world, God put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. Christ died and sent the Holy Ghost here to call you to eternal life, and you have received it, and he sealed you. And you're there till the day of your redemption. Hallelujah. Talk about holding on. It isn't do I hold on. It's did he hold on. It isn't what I done. It's what he done. It isn't I quit smoking, I quit lying, and I quit stealing. It's he died for me, and he took my spirit out of me and converted me into a new creature. Yes. And so the next, and it's where we'll stop right there. But I want you to notice each one time when Brother Branham spoke of these things or anything he ever brought, he always made reference. Didn't the Bible say? Doesn't the Scripture say? Mm-hmm. It wasn't his idea. Go back. It's written in God's holy word. It's so many today want to come along and say it's like this or it's like that, but they won't ever tell you that what the Scripture says or the Bible says. But look what God's prophet was always referencing, the things that he told us right back into God's precious word. And with the revelation of realizing that God's prophet is his mouthpiece, today we look at the same message that the prophet brought in the same light that we look at these precious holy scriptures, God delivering a message to a people through his spoken word mouthpiece, that we would hear what he had said unto the church. Yes. And oh, how we take heed to it and we hold to that and lay aside anything that's contrary to what God has delivered to that little bride. Amen. Oh, and watch it bring the results in your life if you'll just let it. Amen. This is in the message that God, who is rich in mercy, this was preached January 19th, 1965, paragraph 44. He says, we're a part of God. You always was. You don't remember because you were only an attribute in God and you were only in his thinking. Your very name, if it was ever in the book of life, it was put there before the foundation of the world. He knew that what you were, and I'm only saying this not to mix up doctrine, but to straighten it out, that we might get away from this fear and scare. You don't know who you are. You are not going to be, but now you are sons of God. See, you always were sons, the sons of God. For when God had you in his thinking at the beginning, you have to be some part of you. Your life that's in you now had to be with God before there. Well, and he, before he even become material here on earth, before there was anything but God, you were one of his attributes. And he knowed what your name would be. He knowed the color of your hair you would have. He knowed all about you. The only thing that happened is when you, being a sinner, many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. When you was a little boy, a little girl, you would walk around and there would be certain things that wouldn't bother other kids. And it seemed like there was something in you that cried out. There was a God somewhere, yet you were a sinner and you remember that. Certainly. Now what was that? That was a little form of life in you then. And then after a while you heard the gospel and maybe you went to church and you picked out this and that and went from denomination to denomination. But one day, you being a part of God, you had to be part of the word. And when you heard that word, you know where you come from. And you knowed what was truth. You were always, the seed was always in you. And the word seen the word that was in you. And that was before the foundation of the world. And saw the word and you come to it, like my little eagle story of how that little eagle was hatched out under a hen. And that little fellow walked with the chickens and the hen clucked and he didn't understand her clucking. And the little chickens, their diet they'd had in the barnyard, he didn't understand that. And how they didn't, but there was something in him that seemed to be different from what the chicken was, because at the beginning he was an eagle. Yes, and how that is so true today as we reference this, and those that have truly experienced this and can see it in our hearts and in our lives, how true it is that there's just something different. Some have heard the same word you hear. They've listened to the same message. They can see the same God sent a prophet. And to them, this is of none concern. Many heard the prophet speak of the things of being like the world. Showed us that everything that's in this world is controlled by two spirits. Showing us that it's either of God or it's of Satan. And so many in this message still want to follow after sports and all that the world has to offer, knowing God's not in that. They failed to follow the correct spirit. But oh, if there's something churning down on the inside that's causing a different spark, a different turning, a different yearning in you, that I don't want what they got. I'm seeing something greater over here. Thanks be to God. If you have that draw in your heart and you can see that our view is turning heavenly, as we sang the song this morning, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. There's a drawing. There's something that this world just grows strangely dim. I'm not of this world. And I have no desire to be like this world. When I look around at people my age and I see all they can think about is how they can grow their wealth and they can grow and mature this to have a happy, easy retirement. And that's all their focus is for, is to have all of this. And my focus is, Lord, tomorrow could be my last day on earth. Let me live today like it may be, Lord, that You would be pleased and happy and that my purpose would be fulfilled in Your precious word, Lord.
Yes,
look at the views that is so different. Now think about a view of a chicken and an eagle. A chicken's always walking around looking at the ground. That's all they ever see. But think of that eagle. He's soaring through the heavenlies. He's looking down on those crystal lakes and he can see those beautiful fish swimming. And look, he's soaring out over the deserts and out over the valleys. And up above the storm where the sun is always shining. Think of what his views of life is. He ain't always looking around. That's all he's got to look forward to. But no, he's got so much more that's out there for him. And that's the way I feel tonight. There's so much more available to us in God's precious word.
Yes,
keep looking up. Don't get satisfied with a stalemate of this is what a Christian life is. This is what it means to be a message believer. But keep reaching forward and following the draw that's in your heart. And watch where God will take you to in the end. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He says, the word seen the word that was in you before the foundation of the world. Saw the word and you come to it, like my little eagle story about how that little eagle, let me drop one down here. That's right, but one day his mama come hunting him. And when he heard that scream of that eagle, it was different from the cluck of the old hen. And that's the way it is with every born-again believer. You can hear all the theology you want to and all the man-made discrepancy, but when that word flashes out there, there is something that takes hold and you come to it.
Amen.
You who were once dead in sin, that life has he quickened. There has to be a life there to quicken first, though. God, by His foreknowledge, knows all things. And we were predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. Ye who were once dead in sins and trespasses, wherein we had all had in our times past, but hath He quickened. And if you just, I won't take time to read it so we don't get too lengthy, but it's in the Church Age book. If anyone wants to go back and reread it, it was in an exposition of the Church Age book in the Smyrnian Church Age, chapter 4, is where he said, we didn't become seed by a rebirth. We were seed, and therefore we could be reborn. And oh my, this one little quote he made here, he said, in very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally, though not expressed until each name, till each came forth in the designated decreed season. And as that each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. And thus this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. And though she is feminine in designation, she is also called the body of Christ. And it's a very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she was predestinated in him, came from the same source, was eternal with him, and is now manifesting God in a many, many membered body, whereas once God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look what God has done for each one of us. And those that God may still be drawing or still pulling and drawing to a place to where they're recognizing they've been sent for a purpose. They've been called for a purpose. They're just not here to be a normal American citizen. They just wasn't sent here to be a normal old churchgoer. Wasn't just sent here to be part of a group of people that's following a prophet, so to speak. And sometimes that's where it gets to. Well, we're following a prophet. There was many, that's all they had to say when they was following Moses. We're just following Moses. We're just following Moses, and failed to realize that pillar of fire every day was ahead of Moses leading him. Oh, look where they were and how we ought to be so careful and mindful of what God is trying to lead us to through this precious word. And oh, how it ought to put a desire in our heart. This is in the Message Works as Faith Expressed, November 26, 1965. We'll start here, paragraph 122. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except my Father draws him first, and all that the Father has given me will come to me. No man can understand who he is or how it is except it be revealed to you by revelation of God." And then faith in that, you act accordingly, see? And here we see plainly that God is revealed in Jesus. And only those who were foreordained to see it will see it. Be sure to read this scripture. Amen. Amen. Always back to the scripture every time. Amen. Look where he's pointing you. He's giving you the reference to find for yourself and to study it out. But be sure to read this scripture. I omitted it then, that St. John 6, 44 to 46. I omitted it because I thought maybe we'd not have enough time to go through. Because that clock up there just keeps moving. And so you notice, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all the Father has given me, they will come. They'll recognize it. No other man can do it. No other person. No matter how good, who you are, it's got to be revealed to you. Then you see who Jesus Christ is. Now here, predestinated plan is in plain view, just as other seed. The word of God is a seed and must have the ground prepared beforehand. And if you sowed a seed and just throwed it out there on the ground, it would do no good. But the birds would pick it up, and you'd throw it among thistles and thorns, it'll choke out pretty soon. And Jesus' parable said so. So the ground has to be made ready first. And God, and to receive him in this age, he foreknew you by his foreknowledge and ordained you to eternal life. He knew you, therefore he prepared you. And that's the reason you staggered out of these things and staggered into what you have now. It was God leading you to a place where he has ordained for you to be. And if this ground isn't prepared beforehand, it can't grow. That's the reason the seed of faith, when you're preaching faith, see the discernments of the Lord and see what takes place and all the gifts of the Bible working. People work themselves up. Oh, hallelujah, I believe it, and come up and find themselves disappointed. See, the ground has to be foreordained. And you'll know it when it strikes. Yeah. Amen. But we must. God has been leading each and every one of us. He's led us to this place. We came from many different paths. We've traveled through many different roads to get here. And how we can look back and say, realize that it wasn't me leading myself. God has made the past. He's made the path. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of God. He has led us in the ways that he saw fit, each and every one of us, to be here today. Mm-hmm. And how nothing happens by chance. It's not luck. It's not just, I just so happened to stop in for service and I heard this precious word and it really pricked my heart. If there was something drawing and pricking on the inside, God knew you was going to be there. He knows the precise way to place it in your path to make sure you get it when you have need. Moses, he knew exactly where to show up in that burning bush. It wasn't just by chance. It was one bush out in the middle of the desert. But God, before the world was ever formed, knew where that bush was going to be, how many steps Moses was going to take to get there, and where he would be him at that time and place, and say, "Moses, take your shoes off the ground, which on you stand is holy ground." Oh, he knew everything. Nothing is messed with God. It's precise every time, right down the line, and there's no confusion in it. God don't deal in confusion, but only in masterpieces. Amen. That, oh, it works out every time to bring glory to his praise and honor. Amen. This was in the Message, Perfect Faith, paragraph 132. And when we were sinners, alienated without God, this was preached August 25th, 63. Without God in a world in the muck and of mud, as I talked about this morning, God come to us. God sought you. You never sought God. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. And God come down in that muck, what you were, sought you out, brought you out. That ought to create a perfect love. Look what you was and look what you are. What did that? Somebody that loves you, can't you have faith in what he's promised you then? Real genuine love will create a confidence in his word. He caught me when I was nothing. I'm still nothing, but I'm in his hands. See, he caught me. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you was unlovable, but he changed you. He changed me. Just like the Collard sister said that time in her testimony. She said, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but then I'm not what I used to be. She knowed she had come somewhere and something had happened, and that's the way it is. If God, when I was an alien from him, so loved me till he stooped down to get me and pick me up, that gives me confidence that he wants to use me. He's got a purpose in doing it. He's seen something in me. He's seen something in you. And he had a reason to save you. Look at the people that's unsaved today. Look at the millions he could have took beside you, but he took you, amen? And no one can take your place. You're in God's economy. No one can do it. And that's his love to you.
Amen.
Nobody could replace Noah at Noah's time. Nobody could have filled Moses' place but Moses. God saw it before the world was ever formed. And today, God has seen you in your place.
Yes.
Nobody can fulfill the portion that he's allotted to you. Only you, if he predestinated you and you've seen you've been called to that purpose.
Amen.
We each have a purpose to be part of that many-membered bride that's going to be an expression of him in this last few moments of time. All every day, our lives yielded to him, showing forth what his plan is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, oftentimes, as we begin to follow Jesus Christ, it seems like sometimes we go through and we don't think there's ever going to be rough times in life. That we sometimes it's a false pretense. It's like it's going to be a bed of roses as it ever was. Go back and look at the examples. Moses didn't have a bed of roses. Abraham, it wasn't easy wandering through the desert, pulling up tent stakes all the time. Look at what they went through. Job, the stuff that he endured. And look at Peter and all the apostles, the disciples. Look what Paul suffered and went through. Look through the references that were there. It wasn't easy. Each one had a different circumstance. Each one had a different situation. And it's no different today. Our situations may not be their situations, but God is still going to allow situations to arise in your path. There's going to be things that come to try us, to see where our faith is growing. And by those, we can see if our faith is growing.
Amen.
We see where we're climbing. We see where we're maturing. You take that little child, and they're so young, and they try to do something, they ain't got the strength, or maybe they don't have the know-how, and they just can't get it done. But watch them begin to mature, and then watch them go back to do the same thing and watch it work a little better. God's word is the same. As we're growing as calves in the stall, as we receive the word, we become the word and watch it teach us and lead us and guide us into the right paths. That as each storm of life sweeps in, there's a different approach that goes out to it. And watch God receive the glory where before it may have just overswelled us, took us under. But God has reached down and picked us back up and say, son, here's what you need to withstand that the next time. Watch what God has done for each one of us. We each one may have been setting. We've been coming to this building for, say, 15 years, roughly. But look at the growth that has taken place in our lives since that time. Look what God has done for each one of us, and he's not finished yet. His purpose is still there, and there's still a drive. Lord, lead me on to higher ground, Lord, in what you have for me. It'll never stop. But here in the message, the time-tested memorials of God, preached August 18, 57, Paragraph 111, that's the way God does his church. He gives you trial after trial, test after test, trial after trial, and test after test until the life of Christ is reflected in your life. And until you become peaceful, sober, meek, gentle, humble, ready, submissive, willing to turn your head on the things of the world and look straight to Calvary.
Yeah.
To the one who is doing the beating, many times you think it's strange because fiery trials, sickness, persecution, it's only done to test you. To get the dirt out of you and to get the sludge out of you and to get the slowness out of you. To wake you up to the place where you can look and see the reflection. Or a man can see the reflection of Jesus Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He tested every piece. And he was speaking about a bridge of an architect using it as an example. And he said before he put the bolt in, he tested it. He tried everything. And then when he got all done, now the scoffer stood by and said, it will not hold up. It can't do it. And that's what they're saying today. This here Holy Ghost religion you're talking about, it won't be long. That tree will burn down. But it don't burn down. The fire only waters it. It only gives us new hope. It only strengthens us. Every trial, every testing, every time wind hits the tree and shoves it back and forth, it only loosens the roots so it can grow deeper and get a better hold. Every time sickness strikes your home, every time trial strikes your home, every time the neighbor says something about you, it only shakes you and loosens you up. So you can get down and get a better hold on the eternal rock of God's unmovable word.
Amen.
That's how God does it. He sends those trials to test you, to prove you, to shake you up, to give you a new hold. And then we find out when he got all of that done, the critics stood by and said it can't work. But what? The architect knowed his bridge would hold. He knew it would because it had been tested. And that's the reason God said, I'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. Amen. She's went through the test. And every child that comes to God must be tested. And oh, what a confidence he can have. Think of Job. When Satan comes to him, have you considered your servant Job? Yes, I have. Go ahead. And he'll stand the test. What about is it our turn? Can we stand and hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering in these last few moments of time? That Jesus Christ would be identified and expressed through these mortal bodies, expressing to this nation that he is alive and well. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. This is in the message. Amen. I must have cut it off. I don't have it. There it is. It's in the rapture. December the 4th, 1965. Paragraph 85. He says, so were you in, if you've got eternal life, you were in God before there was ever a world. You're a part of God, a son of God, an attribute of God. And he knew the very age you were coming. He predestinated you to that age. Think of it. The scripture says many righteous men have longed to see the day that was coming. And by God's grace, we're here.
Yes.
We're standing here. We've been predestinated to this age.
Amen.
Think of the confidence God must have had in himself that he would put into you and choose you for this time. As he's chose each one of those down to the age, was they relying on their merits? No, God give them what they needed for that space and time to fulfill the work that he needed done. And the same with you and I. We were born with the equipment already inside to fulfill what he had placed us for in this age. He knew the very age you were coming. He predestinated you to that age to take that place, and no one else can take it. Care how many impersonation and things, you've got to be there because he knew you would be there.
Yes.
And now you are made manifest and you can fellowship with him, and that's what he wants. He's longing for fellowship, to be worshipped. But if your life did not, always was as an attribute of God, you're just a mimic of Christianity. And there'll be millions and billions of them, they'll just be mimics of Christianity. And that we see that happening today. But may we have that true desire burning down in our hearts with a true recognition, a revelation burning, that it's been revealed to me that I've been predestinated. I've been called for this purpose. That at this age and time and dispensation, to be a vessel that he could use to manifest himself through, that I would be a work of his grace. Aaron, finishing up here, if you would, in Ephesians, the second chapter. We'll start about the fourth verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God that you're here tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Not of works, not of what we can do in ourselves, lest we should ever boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen.
Glory.
It's not my merits that got me here tonight to hear this precious word. It wasn't my merits that put the desire down in my heart to be here to sing and worship him and to listen to his word this morning. No, it was what God preordered and placed in me before there was ever a moon or a star. And he came looking for me and said, you're one of mine. He come looking, he found me. And I'm so, think of that little song Brother Smith sang, I'm so glad he found me. I'm so glad he came. And oh, now I know I'm one of his. Amen.
Yes,
and by his mercy and grace, I know he's not finished. As long as I'm here, he's got a work for me to do. As long as there's breath in this body, I've still got a work to do. I still have a place to fulfill and something to do for him.
Amen.
And oh, as it says in Psalms, Ecclesiastics rather. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a plan, a time to sow, a time to reap. But all, whatever time I find myself in, as long as I'm here, Lord, let me be a representation of the grace that you've shown to me, the mercy that you've disposed upon me. And Lord, that my life would go forth yielding, Lord, where's the next step? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to be? Don't let me just be satisfied to be a Christian. is what everyone else considers a Christian. But Lord, let me be a true Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured into that called out church. All to be a fulfillment of himself. And oh, may we be part of that. Amen. Pray as you can take something from it. Amen. Stir our hearts. Just bear it in mind. Amen. I pray it'll help someone. I believe it will. And may God's grace just continue to draw us onward. And to show us the reality of this word being truly revealed to your heart with a reality in it. And watch it produce the manifestation, what God said that word would do in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Oh, let's just sing that little chorus again as our brother comes. I'm so glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours.
Aren't you happy that you're his? Amen. And so glad that he found you. You know, just was thinking about that little eagle story again. You know, it's, you think of all the hens and chickens clucking around, but then by God's grace, you're a little eagle. My, you heard that mama scream. Come on, son, jump up on the fence post. You can fly. And you could always could hear the word of God telling you, you can do it, son. You can do it. You're sent for this. You was born for this reason. You was sent for a purpose. You can always hear that echo down in your heart. And I'm just so glad that you put that down in our hearts. Amen. Knowing by God's grace we're his, and that's the assurance we'll be gaining more than ever now, is knowing we belong to him, knowing that he's living through us, he's got a preeminence of our lives, so that we can stand as Jesus Christ stood. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the word tonight, and again, we find ourselves by your mercy and grace being a part of it, Lord, knowing that we've been sent here for this very reason. And Lord Jesus, may you just continue to deal with our hearts, and may we be a people, Lord, that's constantly calling out for revelation, Lord, above everything. And Lord, you promised us that you would reward us. And Lord, you said you was a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. So, Father, if we cry out for revelation, constantly walking and getting into a place closer with you, Lord, where you can have a greater presence in our lives, we know that you'll reward us. Father, we just want to be everything you want us to be. That's the desire you place in our hearts, the love you place in our hearts. Lord, that we can be everything you want us to be. We love you now and thank you for everything. Thank you for this day. We appreciate your love and mercy that you give us this day. Guide us and lead us all now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. And Father, if there's anything at all in our lives you want taken care of and get it out of us and straighten us up, Lord, may your word come and do that very thing. And Lord, if we would need chastened, then chasten us, Lord. If you want us to be encouraged, encourage us, Lord. We're just whatever you want us to be. We want to be in that position. We bless, ask for your blessings now upon us and guide us in all things. In your precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad you're so